65. Welcome back to the second hour. Matt Flynn direct coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making, and we're going right to the telephone lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I just wanted to comment. In the last half hour, you had a really interesting information and discussion about the GOP candidates for governor and their stance on unions. And you were speaking of Michaels, I believe it was, who has an experience in the construction industry, and it had been previously quite a vocal supporter of unions. And I brought it up because I met a guy within the last couple of weeks, older guy, longtime union man in the Steamfitters Union, and he spoke with great pride of what his union was able to pull together in terms of training facilities out of union dues to create a standard for their industry. And I mean, just spoke with great pride about that, that it really mattered that there were standards. And I was thinking at the time, gee, I think that's really important, not only for construction companies to know what they're getting, but also for safety on the job, so that a construction company has an idea that they can go to their insurance companies and say, these are union workers in our job, and they have been trained to the union specifications, and here's what they are. They're written down. Here's what the unions provide. And that the workers have a sense of safety. If there are other union members on that job, they understand what the job is, how to use the tools properly, how to keep safety first, foremost when you're on the job, because construction accidents can be deadly, they can be horrific and really expensive and disabling. But then you in the next part of your discussion, while I was gathering my thoughts, you were talking about these poor people up in Peshtigo and Marinette who are bedeviled by forever chemicals in their wells. And the statistic that you quoted was there are over a million wells in the state of private wells in the state of Wisconsin. That's 20% of people in this state. You had a woman who said, if we just knew what the standards were, and the refusal on the part of people like Voss to hear that concern, to hear that pain that exists when you can't even trust your water, and their refusal to go ahead and start to institute standards on forever chemicals. And then Wisco Paul called you and said, once you lose the water, what am I supposed to drink? And there's no better sum up of kind of the lack of standards and how disruptive that is. Once you lose the water, what am I supposed to drink? And I just wanted to make the comment that lack of standards isn't in just one story or one subject. It's a thread that runs across this discussion of the importance of looking at what Republicans are doing to the state by the lack of standards. So just wanted to make that comment, Matt, and I await your response. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. That is excellent, as always. And let me just respond to two things that Joe just said. One, it was quite excellent. One is you absolutely nailed the union pride and the union safety concerns with having trained construction workers. The construction trades, they go out on a job site and they're facing injury and perhaps lethal injury every day. And so what in Wisconsin and in states where we have very, very strong, historically, union movement. Out of union dues, the unions constructed training facilities of their own. And I've toured the laborers, for instance, and they would have a large area, you know, with dirt on it, maybe a crane, and they take these recruits, anybody who wanted to be a laborer, and they'd say, okay, this is how you operate a crane. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. Be careful of this. Be careful of that. These people are trained and, you know, they can be on probation. They don't take everybody. Sometimes they'll have people that, you know, would be a threat on the job. They don't take them. Then when Michaels or any of these construction companies win a bid to build a building in Milwaukee or Madison or anywhere, they either in the old days, they go to a union hall or they could just call up the unions and say, okay, I need 20 laborers. Send me your best. And they're all the best. So they get 20 of them. I had a friend, believe it or not, who is the CEO of a construction company in Chicago. They built McCormick Place. They built dams. They built a lot of things, nuclear reactors. They got a contract in Florida, in Naples, Florida, to build, back in 1979 time period, a condo. What he did was he went to the Chicago trades, and he got them, and he gave them a bonus, and he flew them all down to Florida, put them up in hotels or motels at the company's expense with a food voucher, and they built this terrific building. I've seen that building. I've been in that building. And I said to him once, why did you do that? Because Florida is a right-to-work state. You could have gotten much cheaper wages. He said, Matt, I wanted the building to stay standing, and I didn't want guys killed on the job. I wanted the building to stay standing, and I didn't want guys to get killed on the job. Okay? So what Joe said is absolutely right. Michaels and the other contractors in the state knew that. It doesn't do them in. Let's say, and I'm making this wage up, adjusted for time. Let's say they can get a union worker for $25 an hour, but that person is trained, knows what he's doing, he's safe, and he'll get the job done. Or they can get a right-to-work worker for $15 an hour. The Republican Party go, oh, great, well, why don't you get, well, no. The cost of building the building is built into the bid. They're known for quality work, and they want safety. They want an OSHA record with no fatalities and no injuries over a long period of time. What the Republican Party, in pushing through right to work and insisting that it apply to the trades, is exactly what produces shoddy workmanship and injuries. Now, what I don't like about Michaels, Joe, I got to tell you this. The guy did it. What he should have said is, look, I run a construction company. This is what I think. The heck with you. No, now he snuck around. He was sly and sneaky, and he said, no, I never did that. Just flat out, not the truth. So we got to elect Evers again simply because he's a goalie, and he'll veto things, crazy things. Michaels, at first I thought maybe he would too. Now I'm not so sure, Joe. I'm not so sure. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, I bet you'll love this. I'm watching Morning Joe this morning. He had a gentleman on there, I forget his name, wrote a book about some of these different individuals from politically from January 6th, like Meadows and McCarthy and the wonderful Lindsey Graham and all the rest of the players and Giuliani. And this is the most telling thing why these people never should be by the levers of power. He said one of the things that I asked him was, you know, what about historically? You'll say these things about the guy off the record, but you won't otherwise, like in the case of McCarthy, who, you know, stood up to him for one day and then goes down and bows and scrapes to him ever since. Well, the guy said exactly what most of them said, and Giuliani actually said this to him. I don't care. I'll be dead anyway. So I used to think of politicians as people who are real interested and how history would look at them. Apparently, I'm all wrong, and history doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Dick. You know, you'd think that even basic human pride and decency would say, look, McCarthy called up Trump on January 6th, for instance, Kevin McCarthy, who aspires to be the speaker. They said, you got to put a stop to this. And then he said, on the floor of the Congress, right after January 6th, Trump is done. I denounce this in the strongest terms. And then he read the polls, and he goes, well, it wasn't so bad. And Ron Johnson said, I would have been concerned if it were Black Lives Matter, slipping a racial thing in. Black Lives Matter protests, certainly in Wisconsin and most of them around the country, were peaceful. And this thing, ginned up by Trump, were armed people, went up to murder the vice president, the speaker, and five people were killed. There is no decency. There is no sense of shame in Kevin McCarthy. There is no sense of shame in Lindsey Graham, who now may have to take the fifth if his attempt to defeat the subpoena that was served on him is somehow unsuccessful, which I think it will be. He was subpoenaed by a grand jury in Atlanta over the extortion of Raffensperger to forge 11,000 votes. So I'm with you. I would have thought that at some point somebody get up on his hind legs and develop a spine and go, look, here's what I believe. And if it, and then just like Liz Cheney. I mean, Liz Cheney is running the toughest state in the union. Wyoming and Utah with the biggest, and West Virginia, the three biggest states with the biggest Trump margins. She's running statewide. They only have one congressman, and so she has to run statewide like a senator. And she's standing tall. She's standing tall. She's the only one. Well, no, Kinzinger. Mitt Romney, halfway. He did vote to convict Trump on two impeachments over Ukraine and over January 6th. And he is leaking word that he may run as a third party candidate in 2024, which would injure Trump if he's the nominee. So stand by for that. But I second what Dick of Madison said. There isn't rudimentary shame, sense of scandal, sense of pride, sense of integrity in any of the leadership currently in the Republican Party, except for Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Unfortunately, they're both getting squeezed out. And I'll tell you what, some of the things that Trump, I mean, I told you before, Trump called Voss. He called on Voss on Saturday to overturn the 2020 election in Wisconsin. I said that before, after the Republican Supreme Court 4-3 said we can't use lockboxes. So Trump goes, well, if you couldn't use them, that got to be retroactive. Oh, really? Retroactive, is it? Retroactive, and therefore you have to throw out the election. Well, maybe not, because a lot of Republicans voted in the lockboxes. Let's have another election in Wisconsin. This guy cannot give up. This guy doesn't get it. This guy is not wanted at the party. This guy is bad news. People are ashamed to have him come sneaking around. They're ashamed to have him come sneaking around. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For what he never knew, now man's reign is through. But through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday.